to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Lap Traffic Nation? It's episode 84 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd, and it is officially MIS week, and I am stoked. All right, there is so much to talk about. I don't even know where to begin. First off, I hope everyone had a good weekend. It was a extra fun weekend for me. Some of you may have seen a couple tweets from me. My sister got married on Saturday, so that was a very fun weekend. Had the rehearsal and all that good stuff Friday, and the wedding and the reception on Saturday. Needless to say, I was watching the race on Sunday, one eye open, kind of. had a good time at the wedding. Got to see a lot of friends that I haven't seen in quite some time. But that said, we went road course racing. We put some different tires on the car on Saturday. Get to that here in a little bit. Some of you guys may have seen my tweet. Today has been just a hellacious day. That's all I have to say. Work is work. I'm not going to complain about work, even though I'd like to complain about work. That said, Lindsay calls me around 4 o'clock, tell me the power is out. And you may have seen my tweet earlier. I don't know why the power was out. Blue skies, no wind, no power. I guess that's how it works around here. Needless to say, came home, sweat my ass off for an hour, pulled out the generator, got the extension cords upstairs to get the fridge and all that plugged in, some fans for the dogs, had to go get find some extra extension cords. I was unplugging stuff from the garden lights and all that stuff outside so I could get some cords down here in the NASCAR man cave to get some lights and to have everything running for the show. And then I go fill up the gas cans because who knows how long this could last, and I don't want the generator to run out. So I come home and I'm getting ready and I'm like, oh, I'm exhausted. I need a minute. And so I get a hold of Aaron Studwell, our weather guy, who I assume most of you know. I record that segment before I start the show, and then I drop it in its appropriate segment slot. And I pushed him back for 15 minutes, which he is always very willing to work around time with interviews and all that kind of stuff. So Aaron knows I appreciate that. So we started 15 minutes late, and we shot the shit for a little bit, and then recorded, and then, you know, the power decides to come back on, I forgot to mention, about 10 minutes beforehand. So it was packing everything back up, putting all the extension cords back, putting the generator back. And needless to say, I've poured a stiff drink and I'm sitting down here ready to have some fun and do this show. So that said, bonus show this Friday from the MIS Media Center. It should be up in time for your ride home. I have got a great lineup set. I've got at least 5 interviews scheduled. I'll be tweeting out who's going to be on the show throughout the day, and as the interviews are going on, be getting some pictures and stuff like that out from the garage area as well. And who knows who else I might be able to stumble into and get a few minutes with. So make sure you are glued to the Lapped Traffic PC Twitter handle and staying up to date with what I've got going on this weekend. I can't wait to get out to the track. I'm heading out Thursday with the wife. It's going to be a good time. Cannot wait. All right. Today's show. Big show coming up Friday, busy weekend. That said, I wasn't able to get anybody lined up for this week from a guest perspective. So unfortunately, no interview tonight, but I've got a lot to talk about. So I don't think you'll be bored by any means whatsoever. No truck race, but we had some Xfinity racing and some cup racing at Watkins Glen, and I've got a lot to talk about with that. Social media shout-outs, weather report for MIS coming up this weekend, lucky dog, lap down, all that good stuff. Now, what is not going to be on today's show? I cannot go without at least mentioning the Brian France situation. It's bad. It stinks for the sport is the only thing that I'm going to say. I am not going to pretend like my opinion matters on this situation. It's very early in the situation, and I don't feel that I'd be doing me, the show, you guys, any justice rambling on about that. So that said, that is all I am going to say about that. And that said, it's time to talk about the important and awesome stuff from this weekend, and that is the racing on the track. All right, there are only two truck races left before the playoffs.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs.
Sorry, Jim, I have to talk about playoffs. MIS, Bristol, that's it. We're going to set the final eight truck guys who will compete for the Camping World Truck Championship in just two races. And we get a Wednesday night truck race at Bristol to set the lineup. Does not get much better than that. Right now, I can't believe it. Crafton is the first guy out on points. If someone outside the top eight wins one of the next two races, Crafton could be on the outside looking in. And Bristol Truck Race can be a bit of a wild card. I'm open to the potential of someone outside the top eight being able to win that race. Crafton is 12 points behind Friesen, who is second out on points. If over the next two races, someone outside the top eight wins a race, it's going to be a challenge for Crafton. Now, me personally, I'm going to expect one of the top eight to win at MIS this weekend just because the nature of the track. You need a big, strong engine to be able to go out there and compete. So I will be watching this points battle between Crafton and Friesen on the track this Saturday afternoon. And then it's no holds barred next weekend at the Coliseum at Bristol. On a Wednesday night, I am very excited for these next two truck races. Like I said, trucks are at MIS this Saturday, which I cannot wait to watch these guys fly around the big open 2 mile track at MIS. All right, over to the Xfinity race. Joey Logano wins stage one, AJ Allmendinger stage two, and winner of the Xfinity race, Joey Logano. Joey, he had a pretty good day on Saturday. Not so much on Sunday as he finished last on that race on Sunday. But for the Xfinity race, you know, the racing this weekend was fantastic at Watkins Glen. Proved to be a little less predictable than Sonoma, and it was fun to watch. So I did have to DVR the Xfinity race. Watched it once I got home late Sunday morning from the wedding. I enjoyed it. Actually watched a good chunk of it, not on fast forward as I tend to do if I'm rewatching a race. I didn't try to stay in the sports bubble, so I was aware of who was leading and winning and all that stuff, glancing at Twitter throughout the day on Saturday. And I knew that the rain tires, the slicks, whatever you want to call them, went on the car, but I didn't know really when that happened in terms of how late into the race. So I was really excited to see when those tires went on and how that played out when I was able to watch it. To that, I'll say by the time the tires got on and they were able to go back green, the rain had stopped for the most part, but the track was soaked. So it was fun to see them drive on the track. Saw guys overdriving, spinning, you know, and I get the allure with that. And thankful it doesn't happen all the time, sort of like trucks at Eldora. I think that could get a bit gimmicky if that happened too often. But I'm not going to lie. I enjoyed watching that, knowing that it isn't something that happens all the time. Knowing that guys could overdrive and a turn, a corner, spin out, get turned around, that added to the excitement of a road course, and I think that was fun. As much of some of the drivers liked it, I don't think the team so much liked it. Pit road was a mess. Couple teams forgot to put the wipers on, had to bring the cars back down, which hurt a couple guys that were, and that was only the beginning of the pit road debacle over the weekend. We'll get to a little bit more of that when I talk about the Cup race here in a minute. Christopher Bell did not get his fourth win in a row, but did finish ninth. Couple Cup guys up front with Logano and Dinger. Keselowski had some late issues, which resulted in a 10th place finish for him. My lap traffic fantasy driver, Justin Allgaier, finished third, which was good. Some guys that I would have expected to be in the top 10, well, not so much. Elliot Sadler finished 12th. Clements finished 14th. Thought Hemric would do a little better than the 16th place finish, especially considering he finished third and fifth in the stages. Maybe I missed something with him there. Maybe those guys got off cycle or something like that there during my DVR rewatch that I missed. That said, I think the Xfinity race on Saturday was a great kickoff to the feature on Sunday. Over to the Xfinity standings. Christopher Bell still has a commanding points lead, especially with his 24 playoff points. The top 10 are really pretty safe. Matt Tift in 10th has a pretty good points lead over 11th place. Ryan Reed and a 79-point cushion over 12th place. Ross Chastain. Where it could get interesting is with Reed in 11th with 487 points and Ross Chastain in 12th with 426. I'm talking outside the bubble in terms of being able to race in on points. I'd really say only John Hunter Nemechek or Michael Annette have a shot, and it's a slim shot, of being able to race in on points. John Hunter only 25 points out of 12th. Michael Annette is 40. Obviously, 40 is a tall order when we're talking about trying to race that in and make that up in points. After that, Sieg in 15th is 75 points back. Really don't see much of a chance of being able to race in 75 points back with the way things are shaping out. So outside of the top 12, John Hunter and Annette, who those two still might need to win a race to get in, but have a shot on points. Outside of that, if you're Sieg, Grala, Clements, you are going to have to win a race and play spoiler. That said, the Xfinity Series, 6 races to go before the playoffs start. Mid-Ohio this weekend, Bristol, Road America, Darlington, Indy, and Vegas. I don't think things are going to get as dicey as they potentially could in the Truck Series. But that said, who knows? Maybe John Hunter can make something happen and make the playoffs there. We will see how that plays out. Another Truck and Xfinity doubleheader this Saturday. The Trucks, like I mentioned, at MIS. And the Xfinity Series about 3 hours south to that state down south, mid-Ohio. Not sure how much of that I'm going to be able to see being out at the track, but I will definitely try to catch up on that DVR when we get back from the track this weekend. All right, let's get to the Cup race, the exciting, fantastic, glorious Cup race that we had on Sunday at Watkins Glen. Martin Truex Jr. wins Stage 1. Chase Elliott wins Stage 2 and get some stage points for 3 races in a row. And a toast, a cheers to everyone down in Dawsonville, Georgia, the PETM podcast who flips some couches, and Chase Elliott fans around the world, here's to you. A little siren ode to you guys. I know everyone in Dawsonville was so excited to hear that siren going off. Congratulations. It was great for the sport, and I have a spiel, a rant, whatever you want to call it, on what this win means here in a little bit. Right now, about the action itself, this race did not disappoint either, obviously, right? See the final results, hashtag Chase Elliott. But it started off fast, crazy, and wide. It was awesome. Chase Elliott, right from the start, challenging Denny Hamlin, I can talk today, and Kyle Busch. And how about Kyle Busch? They have a fueling issue. His crew chief basically throws in the towel over the radio saying their day is done. And not that he was up there challenging for the lead or anything, but he still brought it home third. Unless that car is in the garage, you cannot count out Kyle Busch. Maybe if they're 20 laps down, but man, if that guy is on the lead lap, it is never over. And he proved that on Sunday. There's not much else you can say other than the passion, the drive, and the determination of Kyle Busch when he's behind the wheel. He needs 4 tires and a steering wheel, and he can make something happen out of nothing. So that was just crazy to see him battle back to and get a third place finish there. Let's cut right to it. We have a new first-time winner in Chase Elliott, which is awesome. It's crazy how history repeats itself. His dad, Bill Elliott, getting his first win at a road course, and now Chase gets his first win at a road course, and his dad spotted for him. Just 100% feel-good story. Now, how about those last 15 to 20 laps when it became a reality that Chase could pull this thing off? When Truex tried to drive into turn one and make that pass, I thought he had it. I can't believe Chase was able to hold him off. The battles throughout that track with those two, Truex would get close. Chase would build it back up in the inner loop. It was crazy. It was just incredible to watch. And then Truex runs out of gas. Chase was able to breathe. And somewhere in Georgia, a couch was flipped. Hashtag Sherwin. Hashtag PETM. The siren goes off in Dawsonville. Storybook day. Storybook race. And I'm going to get to that a little later in the show. Side note, how cool was it that Jimmy Johnson, veteran driver, seven-time champ and teammate to Chase, gives Chase a push on the track because Chase ends up winning out of gas. Such a bummer. He wasn't even able to burn it down with his first win, but I got a feeling he'll be burning him down very soon again. I also think that we might have seen a passing of the torch there because who would have thought anyone other than Jimmy would be the guy to get HMS their 250th win. Speaking of Jimmy, another struggle with him at the Glen, 30th place finish. I just want to hit a little bit on some of the guys that had some pretty good days. Suarez, really good day. Fourth place finish to follow up their second place at Pocono. And Suarez gets back-to-back top fives. Jamie McMurray with a nice top 10 along with William Byron. The Stewart House Racing Camp, not their best day. Kurt Harvick Boyer, 9th, 10th, 11th. You know, not that that's bad, but especially for Harvick. When you're used to hearing him being talked about with the big three. The big three, two of them finished up in the top five with Truex finishing second and Kyle Busch finishing third. That said, Harvick, again, not a good day for him. Strong day for Michael McDowell, finished 18th, and Chris Buescher, top 20. Now, can we get off the and stop talking about A.J. Allmendinger when it comes to road courses? Now, listen, this is not a knock against A.J. Allmendinger or anything like that. I'm just saying we've had eight road courses since his last win. And in those eight road courses, only two top tens. I personally think some of it has to do a little bit with pressure because he knows when they go to road courses, the media is going to be talking about him. The media is going to interview him maybe a little bit more when we're at Sonoma and Watkins Glen than we might otherwise see at Pocono or MIS this weekend. Now, you're out there on the track on Sunday driving in NASCAR. You should be able to handle that pressure a little bit. So I don't know that that's a crutch or an excuse. And I'm sure he doesn't consider it a crutch or an excuse. But that said, you know, he's got the one road course win and just hasn't been able to get it done since then. I know he wants to get it done. That was his way. That was his ticket in. That was his way to play spoiler to Ricky Stenhouse Jr. and knock him out and get into the playoffs. And it just didn't happen. It's been this situation and then this predicament for quite some time, quite a few years, and just hasn't gotten it done. So until he gets a win, I don't know why we should continue to act and talk about AJ Allmendinger in the fashion that we have. Again, not a knock, not knocking him or anything like that. I just think we're putting a little too much emphasis out there. That's just me. And like I said, I'm not trying to be negative with that by any means whatsoever. All right. Chase Elliott, the bridesmaid, becomes the bride. My sister, she was the bride this weekend. All right. The big question is now, who is our next bridesmaid? Who's the guy that's going to rack up some P2s before he gets his first win? We had first-time winner in Erik Jones this year. Now Chase Elliott. I'm going to say the next bridesmaid is Daniel Suarez. I mean, I know I'm really going out on a limb there, but really stepped it up here in the summer. He has said he's making the playoffs. You know, that's yet to be seen. He's currently outside the playoff hunt on the bubble looking in or on the outside looking in. Is he going to get it done this year? Don't know. But I wouldn't be surprised whether it's in 2018 or sometime next year, 2019, Daniel Suarez is the next driver to get his first win. All right, let's get over to the standings here. We still have Kyle Busch sitting in first, Kevin Harvick third, Martin Truex Jr. third. Top three, the big dogs sitting 1-2-3 in the standings and 1-2-3 in the playoff points. Could someone else steal a win outside the top 16? Keep in mind, Ricky Stenhouse in 16th at this point in time right now would not make the playoffs as it stands because Austin Dillon has a win and is outside the top 16. That said, Stenhouse has a major point deficit to make up to move up to 15th to where Bowman would be the first guy out. Right now, it's 62 points, which is a lot to make up in just four races. Coverage made a lot out of nothing, in my opinion, talking about Jimmy Johnson not being safe in 14th place. Now, technically, could a couple guys go and win outside the top 16 and knock Jimmy out? But based on how this season's been playing out, I don't think that's very likely. That said, Jimmy is 102 points above the cut line. Now, obviously, Jimmy's not happy with the season. Jimmy doesn't have a win yet, four races before the playoffs. So he's not happy, I guarantee that. But I'm pretty sure he's safe and making the playoffs. I would be shocked if Jimmy Johnson doesn't make the playoffs. But Ricky is already out at the moment. That said, I don't see Paul Menard making up 72 points and pointing his way into the playoffs or anyone else for that matter. So it's going to take a win for someone to make it into the playoffs. I think the points racing into the playoffs at this point is out of the question. It's going to take a win. That said, where could this miraculous win happen? I'll be honest. I don't think it's this weekend at MIS, and I don't think it's at Indy, which leaves Bristol and Darlington, that someone could maybe steal one and knock someone out that is currently in. That said, we're headed to the Irish Hills and Michigan International Speedway, and it's crazy to think only one race separates me and two races. MIS this weekend, I will be there. Bristol the following week, which I wish I would be at. Then we have an off weekend. But then the Lapped Traffic Podcast and the PETM Podcast take over Darlington. I don't know if Darlington knows that this is going to happen, but it is going to happen. So I can't wait to be at two out of the next three races. I've got goosebumps just saying that. I cannot wait. That said, I am not done with my discussion about Chase Elliott. I have added a special segment to devote some time to what that win meant on Sunday, and I will get to that here in just a little bit. But first, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Listen to the show on iTunes, Podbean. You can search and you will find, I will promise you that, on Stitcher, Spreaker, Google Play, TuneIn Radio, Blueberry, Acast, you name it, you can find it. Don't forget about the giveaway. Definitely gotten some new followers over the last week or so, which is awesome. At 3,500 followers, giving away an autographed 124 diecast signed by Richard Childress to commemorate the RCR Museum. And you'll also get a Lap Traffic t-shirt. That said, let's get to some of these new followers. Who are you guys? Jonathan at J_Wall_3 from Greenville, North Carolina, who is dubbed the connoisseur of speed. Welcome to the show. The comeback king at 19 car fan from Victory Lane. Welcome to the show. Joseph at NASC Gaming 48, big fan of Jones, Byron, and Crafton. Tim at Tim A. Dater 2 from Wisconsin and a Green Bay fan. Dawn at ZenFan513 from Cincinnati, who's a Bush, Elliott, and Casey Kane fan. NASCAR Racing News at NASCAR Racing CO. Evan at EJC1999, big Blaney fan. Bill at BillyMac35 from Massachusetts. My family's actually from the Massachusetts area, the Punk Pogs, big NASCAR fan. And Daniel McFadden at Daniel McFadden, writer for NASCAR Talk NBC. I actually partook in a live tweet with Darren and Sherwin from the PETM podcast last night. Pulled up Bill Elliott's first win on YouTube and did some tweeting of that race with some hashtags. That was a lot of fun. Something tells me I might get hooked on doing that really quick. So stay tuned to that. That was a lot of fun. So make sure you check out Daniel. You want some stickers and a koozie? Go fill out the contact page on the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com, and I will get those out to you. If you've been to a race, once you get your koozie, tweet me a picture. I'll put it up on the website as well. All right. It is time. I have to know what the weather is going to be like this weekend at MIS. This last race in June got a little wet, and I am really hoping that Mr. Aaron Studwell has some better news for me. Let's get to the weather report. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, you know who's back. You can follow him on Twitter at RaceWeather. You can check him out on their website, raceweather.net. The wonderful, and I'm buttering him up because I hope he's got really good news. The fantastic, the handsome, Mr. Aaron Studwell. Sir, how are you tonight?
I am doing well, yourself.
Excellent, excellent. Great to be here recording MIS week. I'm pumped. I can't wait to get out to the track this weekend. It's been a interesting few days, and we've had some pretty good weather over this past weekend at Watkins Glen. Got a little wet Saturday. Got to see some slicks on the cars, and Sunday was beautiful. How did that play out based on your prediction? Because I'm going to be honest, I don't remember what you said the weather was going to be like last week.
Yes, we actually said rain for Saturday, and no sooner than we have the rain tires on, the sun starts coming out, so then we have this nice little scenario of half the track's wet, half the track's dry. Now the drivers and crew chiefs have their own choices.
That definitely made it interesting. You know, and there was some sloppiness too. You know, some teams forgot to install the windshield. Like, how? Why? You know, there was some sloppy pit action throughout the entire weekend at the course.
Yeah, and it's something they're not used to, and I'm not defending it because they practice and that's their jobs. I get it. It's not what you're used to, but you've probably been practicing it for about 2 weeks. You've had the setup. If you've been with teams before, you know that a couple times a year, you're going to be on the other side of the car.
Well, you know, it's like the onside kick. It's something you practice and you should be able to manage.
Right. And then you get game scenarios where you just kind of mess it up.
Yeah.
Probably the most frustrating thing for me this weekend or this Saturday was, oh, look, the shower just popped up. Like the media people playing it like, I'm like, no, we've been talking about this storm for about 2.5 hours since developed east of Rochester has been moving your way. I was updating the website and updating Twitter every 20 minutes. It's this far away. Do not tell me and do not tell your viewers, oh, look, a storm just popped up.
Pop-up shower.
I'm going back and forth with some spotters and people there saying, yeah, it's about this far out and it's moving this fast and there's lightning or no lightning. And that's something we saw kind of go back and forth, that when the storm was a little bit further away, that there was a little embedded lightning. So now you've got a potential for not just a wet condition, but stopping the race, red flag, and evacuating the stands.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
So you mentioned this. Luckily, we weren't putting that scenario out.
You mentioned the spotters. So is your communication text message with a couple of them, or are you chatting via social media? What is the relation there?
It was through social media, but through DMs.
Okay. That's very cool.
So, but the information I was conveying to them was generally what was being put on the website. It's nothing usual, and it's more that, hey, you know, just so I wouldn't play it so that, oh my gosh, this is coming out of nowhere, and try to make a story out of it when the story is still the drivers, the racing, and not how they want to play off their angle on the storms.
Sure, sure. All right, let's get to the elephant in the room. I'm headed out to MIS this weekend, sir. What can I and everyone else headed to the Irish Hills expect?
Well, we will start with the nice day of Friday. Practice, you know, probably cloudy mid-80s. For Saturday and for Sunday, there's going to be a system south. It's going to be across that state down south. We'll talk about the mid-Ohio. We're going to be talking about the mid-state down south forecast in a moment.
There you go.
But we'll talk about variably cloudy. I want to have a chance of showers and thunderstorms both in the afternoon for Michigan. You know, it's a 1 o'clock start on Saturday and a 2:45 start on Sunday. Again, we'll watch for this to play out. It's about a 20% chance. So right now you're going to say, you know, we've got a pretty good chance of racing, especially if we're looking into stage two. I think everybody wants to see a complete race. I think you'd be patient enough for a complete race. And just this kind of off chance of showers and thunderstorms on both Saturdays and Saturday and Sunday with highs in the low 80s.
All right. Well, the temperature sounds good. I'm cool with that, and I will keep my fingers crossed. All right. To the school,
it's gonna be real hit or miss, so I think we're not gonna, I think we'll be looking okay.
All right, I will put a rosary out on the tree. All right, the state down south. Why don't you explain why it's called the state down south?
I was on the football staff at Michigan from '84 to '87, and one of the traditions, and I believe it was Brady, and correct me if I'm wrong, is it Brady Hoke?
I do believe he brought it back. I know during the Lloyd Carr era, you know, it wasn't as, you know, detrimental to mention and say the word Ohio. But I think it was before that that they wouldn't mention it. I don't remember if it was with Shem Beckler or not. Yeah. But Hoke definitely brought back the we're not going to mention that name or that state down south.
Yes, so it is now the state down south, and if you'll note on game weeks, they have tried to avoid using the letter M on any of their press releases, and that even goes to the whole university and not just the athletic department.
Yes, yes, they'll leave M out in emails. Yes, it is a fun tradition.
So urban ire.
Urban ire. Well, that's a whole nother can of worms there. All right. What's the weather looking like at mid the state down south?
Not much better. Both Friday and Saturday were cloudy. Chance of light showers and thunderstorms on both days. Both days high near 80. Again, it's a scenario where it's going to be kind of hit or miss. But I think with it being a road course, you almost kind of – I think some fans kind of relish it and want to see that. It's a little bit different form of racing. I think one of the kinds of things they walk through during the Xfinity race at Watkins Glen is you have the rooster tails and the lights, and it's just a different skill set than a lot of people may necessarily have, even when they're struggling on a road course, throw rain in, and you're kind of narrowing down even further who's going to be good in those conditions and who's
absolutely
not.
Absolutely. Alrighty, sir. Well, thank you as always for the weather report. Everyone, make sure you are following Aaron on Twitter at RaceWeather. Check him out online, raceweather.net. Sir, looking forward to talking with you next week to recap Michigan and set up for Bristol.
Sounds good. Looking forward to it. Have a great time this weekend.
Thank you very much, sir. We'll talk to you later.
Talk to you soon.
See ya.
Bye.
So talked with Aaron after we recorded, and he's going to attempt to call in on Friday during the extra bonus show from MIS, which has got a stacked lineup, and I'm keeping that under wraps until Friday to make sure you guys stay glued to Lap Traffic PC on Twitter. You guys will find out then who's going to be on the show. But anyways, Aaron's going to try to call in and give a closer to the green flag update on the weather since I will be there this weekend. All right. So I promised I wasn't done talking about Chase Elliott's win. But before I get to that, how awesome is it that Bill Elliott is going to drive at Road America for the Xfinity race for GMS Racing Saturday, August 25th, which also happens to be an off weekend for Cup. I wonder if there might be a chance we see Chase get a ride from someone, maybe like Junior Motorsports. I know Chase ran for Junior for Daytona. Or I wonder if we might see Chase spot for his dad like Bill did for Chase this weekend. Either way, it's going to be awesome. Bill has not been behind the wheel in any of NASCAR's top three series since 2012. And I just think that's just adding to the Cinderella feel-good story of this past weekend. Now, that said, as you guys know, Sherwin and I were live tweeting Watkins Glen, and I had sent him a message and was like, hey, how about we pose a question to the listeners and we each kind of talk about that and kind of do a little cross interaction between the podcast with our show, which, of course, make sure you're checking out the PETM podcast. So the question to PETM and the listeners was about what does Chase winning mean for NASCAR, and does the fact that we've had two first-time winners play a part in that? And you guys chimed in a little bit, so I'm going to get to your responses, and then I'm going to go on a little rant. So Mike at MikeTuck12, it's a good win for the sport. Chevy got the win, Chase's first win, which will calm the Chase will never win stuff. The fans loved it. It wasn't the big three. They were cheering today. It was Chase in front of a sold-out audience at that, which is awesome. You're right. Watkins Glen selling out fourth time in a row. It's fantastic. It's one of the few tracks that are getting a sellout on the circuit, which is fantastic. And Chase gets the win. Absolutely. Mick at GoDucks42_Mick. Anytime the most popular driver wins will boost in a positive nature. You will have a large fan base that's happy. In turn, means less complaints. Absolutely. There's no doubt Chase is going to be the most popular driver. And when the most popular driver wins, it's good for the sport. You summed it up perfect there. NASCAR Thinkings at NASCAR Thinkings. It was an amazing win and an amazing day. I don't want to heap too much pressure onto the situation for it to make massive changes in the future, though. But we should appreciate how purely awesome it was. Perfect. Can't agree with you more. Bill at Bill_Dowdy. Just glad someone besides a 18 and four got a win. I don't disagree with that either. I think it's incredible the season that we're being able to watch with those three. Obviously, you know, if we had crystal balls, we'd be able to look and see who's going to Homestead. But based on what we've got going on, it's an incredible three-race battle that's going to Homestead and who's going to be that fourth wildcard spot. By all definition, those three should be in it without anything crazy happening. And I think that's special what we're getting to witness with that. But it is glad to throw a new face in there, and we got that with a first-time winner with Chase Elliott. And PETM, it's never just another win when a Hall of Fame legacy driver wins their first cup race. Obviously, this is not Chase's last win. It's just his first win, and I couldn't agree more. Definitely going to be in the Hall of Fame with his dad. All right, that said, what's my response to that? Are we looking too much into this? What's the professor's take on this? Well, sit down, class. Take out some loose leaf and double space. So we had two first-time winners in a season dominated by three veterans of Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, and Martin Truex Jr., who through 22 races have won 16. That's 73% for those keeping track at home. So I think the fact that we've had two first-time winners in a season being dominated by veterans means that we are in good hands as far as talent goes, and those who will be here for a long time down the road and who will become our new veterans in the next 5 to 10 years, which has to be viewed as a positive for the sport. Does this win for Chase Elliott carry more weight than that, though? And I think the answer to that is yes, but beyond some of the obvious reasons. So if we look at the obvious reasons, Chase is probably going to be the most popular driver. Most popular driver means more revenue generated for the sport, which is good. A younger guy being the most popular driver might draw attention to younger fans, which might bring more people to the track. And I'm not talking about next week or the rest of the season. I'm talking about over time. If we look at the type of career we expect Chase to have, which is a lot of pressure to have on your shoulder, he's a new Dale Jr. and that's not a small pair of shoes to fill. So the fact he's carrying himself with such poise already is great for the future of the sport and will make it easy for some new fans coming into the sport to say, hey, you know what? That's my driver. That's key with NASCAR, identifying with someone on the track to go, hey, yep, that's my guy. You look at stick and ball sports, and hey, by association, you're a Tigers fan, or you're a Cleveland Indians fan, or you're a Minnesota Twins fan. You know, you might have, like me, I love the New England Patriots, and that's because I love Tom Brady, who played for Michigan. So you'll live in a state, and you might have a few people that root for another team. But for the most part, you are rooting for the state in which you live in. Well, that's not the case with NASCAR. There's more than two teams playing out there each week, and it's a traveling sport in that regard with visiting different tracks at the circuit. So you attract so many different people from the fan base, and you want to be able to identify with somebody. So if you're a young, casual fan just looking to get into the sport, watch it every once in a while, well, I want somebody to root for. Who better than a guy like Chase Elliott to do that for that casual fan? And so I think that's fantastic. You know, another obvious reason it's good. It's obviously good for Chase's career to get that first win out of the way. I also think just to keep the haters quiet that he raced for that first win is important. It wasn't the reverse situation where he won because the guy in front of him ran out of gas. It wasn't a rain-shortened race. It wasn't an inherited lead from the pit stops or anything like that. He raced. He earned the win on the track, which I think is important to get rid of any doubt about not being able to race under pressure. It was a feel-good story with his dad spotting for him, his dad getting his first win on a road course. So those are some of the obvious reasons why this win was important for the sport. Now, how about a couple of those not so obvious reasons? Chase got Chevy their 250th win, which is a huge victory milestone for the manufacturer that was not done by Jeff Gordon, Jimmy Johnson, or Dale Jr. I think down the road, that will hold a little bit more weight than we might give it credit now, especially if Chase goes on a win rampage during his career, cracks the top 20, top 15 or higher in wins. You look at Chevy's struggles all season. You look at Jimmy Johnson, the most prominent driver of Team Chevy, and his struggles this year. I think that also plays a big part in the importance of this win for Chase and Chevy. I also think if we look at the start of the season, it was the young guns talk that they were going to go out there, steal wins from the veterans, and not that he stole one, he earned that, but competed against one of the big three on the track and got that win. I think that is also crucial and critical on the importance that this win might play down the road. So the answer to the question, was this an important win for the future of the sport? And I would have to tip the scales to the yes side and say this was not only important for the sport, it was needed for the sport. I also think it was needed for the fans. Chase may give fans a reason to boo him at some point in his career, but I'd be hard-pressed to think anyone in the stands, Chase fan or not, didn't enjoy watching and seeing Chase get his first win, which I think from a fan perspective is good. I think to have that person that you can root for, even if it's not your primary driver, and just be happy that someone got a win. All that said, the sport itself benefited, I feel, from Chase Elliott's win, and class is dismissed. All right, let's get to everyone's favorite segment. Well, it's at least one of my favorite segments. It's time for some lucky dogs. Don't forget to tweet your picks. You can leave them on the Waiver Own hotline, all that stuff. All right, my lucky dog of the race, obviously, Chase Elliott. How could it not be? And I am putting AJ Allmendinger a lap down. Go out there, win another road course. Give us a reason to talk about you. All right, over to some tweeted responses. Tim at TTrip14's lucky dog is Chase Elliott. Finally, first career win on a road course, just like his dad. Many more to come. Lap down, Martin Truex Jr. gave it his all but ran short on fuel. And also, a bonus lucky dog is Team HMS for the 250th win. Mick at GoDucks42 underscore Mick's lucky dog has to be Chase Elliott. Lap down, fueling on the 18. I think it would have been even better if it was a three-car battle for the win. Kenny at STL Cards Rule for EVs. Lucky Dog, three-way tie for Lucky Dog for him, actually. First goes to Chase. Second to the fans for Bill's comeback announcement. And third goes to the wicked catch fence move by Logan Seavey. Great call on that there. If you guys haven't seen that, Logan Seavey actually raced in the trucks on the dirt track known as Eldora a couple weeks back and almost won the Eldora truck race. He was out there driving a sprint car into a void, running into a car on the field, literally ran up the catch fence and back down onto the track. It was incredible. Go Google that, YouTube that. You will definitely find it. It was incredible to watch. So great call there, Kenny. Kenny's lap down goes to the broken fuel can. Props to his man, Rowdy, for pulling out a P3 out of that. But, man, that sucked. Mike at Mike 12. Mike Tuck 12's lucky dog goes to Chase. So stoked he finally got that first win. And Jimmy Johnson for pushing him when he was out of gas. Lap down goes to the crew guys that got hit today. One by a car and two others with equipment. PETM Podcast at PETM Podcast. Lucky Dog goes to Denny Hamlin for not getting wrecked by Chase because he should have been. Lap down goes to Todd Gordon for not understanding the garage repair rule. Not that it would have changed anything. That circles back to Joey Logano's unfortunate 37th place finish. I think there were 37 cars on the track. But hey, at least he got the win on Saturday. Lisa at LL Chinana's lucky dog. Duh. Chase Elliott. Lap down has to be Denny Hamlin due to that pit. You know, the 11 team definitely had some struggles on pit road. And, you know, we saw some injuries there on pit road. And that just goes to show we take for granted. I put this out on Twitter on Sunday. We take for granted how flawlessly these pit guys handle these pit road stops and the changes they're doing and how dangerous pit road can be. We saw that that mistakes can still happen. Injuries can still happen. And again, it's just something not to take for granted, just how dialed in some of these pit crews are when it comes to what they're doing on pit road. Hopefully everybody's all right from that. And over to Brandon Carl at Brandon K. Carl. His lucky dog are the fans for supporting Watkins Glen. Fourth year in a row sold out race, which is just incredible that the fans show up to Watkins Glen. Lap down Hamlin in that cluster bleep of a pit stop. John at Dean Ader's lucky dog. Two top fives in a row for Suarez. That's what I want to see out of that guy. I'm saying he's going to be the next bridesmaid. Lap down caution, consistency from NASCAR, spin from Almirola, caution, spin from Johnson in the same place, no caution. You know, I get it. I think that's kind of circles back to the phantom debris cautions. You know, if NASCAR wants a caution, there's miraculously debris on the backstretch or in turn three or something like that. But if they don't want a caution, they're not going to throw it. And to be honest, you know, I'm glad NASCAR didn't throw the caution. Those two guys, Truex, Elliott, went out there and battled hard for the last 20 laps at a road course, which was incredible to watch. Not to say that a restart wouldn't have made that even more exciting, but I get it. You know, the consistency of calling cautions is not there. It's, you know, NASCAR could make things a lot more simplified for the fans, just like with the Todd Gordon and Joey Logano. If a car spins, we're throwing a caution. It could be that black and white. But then you'd also get the point of, well, hey, let's not throw it. It wasn't needed. It's a road course. They weren't going to come back around the car, you know. So there's so many gray matters when it comes to when should we throw a caution and when shouldn't we throw a caution. Who knows? Maybe in a few years, technology will get to the point of calling the cautions just like they call penalties on pit road. We talk about it in the stick and ball sports in terms of, you know, referees missing pass interference or an umpire missing a ball or strike. You know, how much technology do we want to bring into it? Do we want to allow human error to still play a role? It's definitely interesting. It definitely is something that gets a rouse out of the fans when we get a caution or don't get a caution, or are we going to see a caution? You know, it's definitely frustrating and confusing. I get that. But I agree with you. There is no consistency when it comes to things like that. All right. Those are the tweeted responses. Let's get to your messages on the Wave Around hotline.
How's it going? It's Matthew Fossum on Twitter at NASCAR Thinkings. What a race. These are good days. I was screaming at the TV. I'm not even the biggest Chase Elliott fan, but that's just a good, it's just a good day for the sport. That's my lucky dog. It's just the sport of NASCAR in general. Mike Davis tweeted about how this is a big win. Chase Elliott won against Martin Truex Jr., the defending champion. It was a really dramatic finish, and the race was on NBC, not just NBCSN. So it's just a really good day for NASCAR. I'm doing two lucky dogs, no lap down, because it's just that great of a day. My other lucky dog goes to NASCAR and NBC. The style of broadcast was awesome. Dale Jr., Jeff Burton, the Evan guy that they have, I can't remember his name right now, all did fantastic. It was just a really great production. Yeah, everything's great. Man, what a day. All right, talk to you later.
Matt, thank you so much for calling in. I feel the passion there. I love it. And I'm gonna be 100% honest with you guys. I don't listen to these until I play them on the show. And the mere fact that Matt basically mirrored everything I said earlier, it's a great day for the sport. Even if Chase Elliott is not your primary driver, there's no way you could have felt bad about that outcome, which when you don't mind who wins, when it's not your guy, that's just awesome. And yeah, NASCAR dialed it in. It was on NBC, which means more people potentially caught the end of that race, which is just fantastic. So, all right. Thanks for calling in. Let's get to the second caller on the Wave Around Hotline.
Hey, what's up, man? It's Andrew. And as you can imagine, I'm pretty pumped up right now. Chase got his first win finally. Hell yeah. I had some people over my house, and they were looking at me like I had 7,000 heads and I started jumping up and down, but they're in my house, so whatever. That's the obvious lucky dog right there. Chase finally getting a win. Hendrick showed pretty good speed at the Glen. I got some inexperienced drivers who really haven't had a lot of track time there, so even William Byron ran pretty good, I think. I don't know where he finished, but he was running in the top 10 at one point. Another lucky dog has to be NBC's coverage. They hit not a home run, they hit a grand slam. I mean, that was a kick-ass radio-style broadcast. They did it last year. Between that and the camera angles, there were some awesome angles. That one going into the inner loop was really cool. Kyle Busch drove his tail off to somehow finish third. That dude can wheel it as much as a prick as he can be, but that's okay. In terms of a lap down, I got to go with the Penske cars. They, for whatever reason, have been like lost or something. I mean, Logano had the issue early in the race. Kozlowski was a non-factor. That was shocking because I thought he was going to win at the Glen, to be honest with you. Blaney was the best one there. Go figure. So I don't know what's going on with Penske. They're getting cold at the wrong time here as the playoffs come to a close, or playoffs come to an open and the regular season comes to a close. So that'll be something to watch for sure. Thanks, buddy. Talk to you soon.
Andrew, it sounded like you were at a racetrack yourself when you called in there. That's awesome. Everybody loving the Chase Elliott win. No one hating on that. It's fantastic. I love it. I'm with you guys 100%. And everybody loving the NBC coverage. It doesn't hurt having Junior. Doesn't hurt having Steve Letarte. Camera angles are awesome, like Andrew mentioned there. Just fantastic job done by everybody all around. Absolute fantastic day. All right, let's get to the third and final call on the Wave Around Hotline.
What's happening, Brandon? You know what it is. This is Eddie, a.k.a. EG3. Again, you guys can follow me at 3wide_fasteddie. Man, Brandon, what an exciting finish for all of NASCAR. And see Chase Elliott get his first victory. Who would have thought that we would see Chase Elliott get his first victory at a road course? Sure, not me, but we saw a fantastic finish. Chase Elliott, Martin Truex Jr. going right down to the wire, and the fans saw one heck of a battle, and Chase brought it home for the state of Georgia. How about that? I'm from the state of Georgia, even though I'm a Martin Truex Jr. fan. So that was great to see Chase right there bring it home for Dawsonville. My lucky dog, I'm going to give it to William Byron, Chase's teammate. What a last couple of weeks for this kid. I mean, he goes out there and really did a nice job at his first, I believe, no, his second time at the Glen. Last time he was there, he was in the Xfinity Series car. But William Byron putting down a nice top 10 run over there in upstate New York. And my lap down, got to go to NBCSN. Why? Well, as a Truex fan, we were looking forward to watching racing routes that the NBC network was promoting, and a lot of my other buddies who are part of the quote-unquote Truex Nation was looking for it as well. They're complaining about it on Twitter, and they're looking for it as well, and we could not find it, and I happened to stumble on it in the last 5 minutes, but NBCSN gets the lap down because they did not broadcast racing routes when they're supposed to. Brandon, I'm out of here. Have a good time at MIS.
Eddie, man, thank you so much for calling in. Appreciate it. You know, Chase Elliott, talk of the town. And you know what? Bowman the Showman, right? He has dialed it in the last couple weeks. Curious to see if he's going to be able to get the trifecta, make it 3 weeks in a row with some good finishes there. HMS, maybe they're getting it dialed in. Second half of the regular season. Who knows? Can't wait to get to MIS this weekend and find out. All right, guys, you know the drill. You can tweet your picks. I'll read them off. Or you can call the Wave Around hotline, 248-965-9538. You can call the second the checkered flag drops. Leave your message. I'll play it back. It's that simple. And I want a full Wave Around hotline next weekend since I will be at the track. I want a lot of calls next week. I want to play back a bunch. So make sure you call in. Leave your message next week. All right. We got to get to some fantasy here before this thing gets over. That said, let's recap fantasy. Just a reminder, get your picks in by 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Friday. DraftKings, I've taken a hiatus, but I'll get back to it this week since I'll be there. I should be able to do something, I would hope. It's week 10 of Segment 2. There are 5 more weeks to go in Segment 2. No one was able to pick the winner in the Xfinity race since it was a Cup guy, and no one picked Chase for the Cup race. That's crazy. That said, week high points was 101 by Amanda Pugh, Chab Robb, and Chloe Yunker, Matt Fossum, Robert Kempflinger, and Tommy Witt, all who had Martin Truex Jr. and Justin Allgaier. Over to the top 10 in standings. Chad Robb still holding on to a first place lead with 1,069.
69.
Thank you, Adam. In second place is David James with 1,026. Matt Fossum in third with 1,004. Tim Triplett in fourth with 999. Kathleen McDonald has cracked at top 5 with 980. Amanda Pugh up to sixth with 978. John Entwistle in seventh with 974. Aaron Lamp in eighth with 955. Jeff Legg in ninth with 950. And Chris Lowther wraps out the top 10 with 949. It is a close battle. 5 weeks to go in segment two. Over to the cumulative standings. Chloe Yunker, she came to play this week. She was not happy dropping out of the first place cumulative lead and has regained the cumulative lead with 2,333. John Entwistle up to second with 2,327. Tommy Witt in third with 2,280. Chad Robb in fourth with 2,275. And David James wraps out the top 5 cumulative total with 2,235. So if you guys missed last week, the challenge is on between the MOATF podcast, the Brits Across the Pond, and the Lap Traffic podcast. It's on. They were talking some smack, as they do. And you know what? To be fair, they can, because I'm 10 points behind those guys. But there is plenty of time over the next 5 weeks. It's on, boys. I am telling you, I'm coming for you guys, and I'm going to get it done. And I'm gonna go out on a line right now and say that after this week at MIS, I will be ahead of the MOATF podcast. That said, it is time for the picks. This weekend, we head to MIS, my home track. I'm sure you all remember the June race cut short by rain and Sherwin from the PETM podcast presence at the track. Just kidding, buddy. Love you. Can't wait to hang out with you guys in a couple weeks at Darlington. But Clint Bowyer was able to hold off Kevin Harvick before the rain set in to finally end the race. Can Clint get it done again and sweep MIS? Harvick was the worst struggling car of the big three this past weekend at Watkins Glen. Can he rebound at the big two-mile track at MIS? It's been 8 years since he got his one and only win at MIS. He's finished second 6 times there. Can he get it done? What about Kyle Larson? Won 3 in a row here until Clint Bowyer played spoiler to his 4th win in a row. Can Larson get his first win of the season in Chevy back-to-back wins? Martin Truex Jr. is the only driver of the big three not to have a win at MIS. Can he pick up his first win in the backyard of the Motor City? Who gets the win? Who gets manufacturer bragging rights in the Motor City? We will find out this weekend. But first, it's time for my picks. Over to the Truck Series at MIS. I am going with Johnny Sauter. Over to my Xfinity pick down in mid-Ohio. I'm going with Elliott Sadler. Enough's enough. He's going to get me some points. Over to the Cup race, I'm playing Homer. Kevin Harvick picks up win number 7, and I come home happy. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, that is going to be a wrap for episode 84 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. I don't know how this thing went an hour. Sure didn't feel like an hour. I guess that means it was a good time. Always a good time in the NASCAR Man Cave. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Follow on Facebook, @LapTraffic. Make sure you're following on Twitter, @LapTrafficPC. Don't forget about the contest at 3,500 followers. The road to MIS is in full swing. Bonus show this Friday with a huge lineup. Make sure you check it out and stay glued to LapTraffic on Twitter. Next week, Michigan native and MRN broadcaster Jeff Striegel helps me close out the MIS season and will be on the show. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!